ברוכים הבאים, ladies, לזכור לשנים רבות, נעימות וטובות. חודש טוב ומבורך. Today's lesson class is being studied the Ilui Nishmat Yitzhak Ben Adel. Isaac Yedid, Aiki Yedid, Alav Shalom, that passed on this week. He was a very dear friend of ours, a personal friend, and he was known for his chesed and his kindness and all the good things that he did, although he didn't live an extended life as we would have wished he did, but he definitely left a lot of things in motion through his good deeds and his kindness and his learning and just the reputation. Keter Shev Tov Ole Al Gabehen. The greatest crown in the world is not the crown of kingdom, and not the crown of Kehuna, and even the crown of Torah. The highest crown that one can earn is the crown of a good reputation. Keter Shem Tov Ole Al Gabehen. And that truly, Aiki had a Shem Tov Yitzhak Ben Adel, and the family should be consoled. As I said, he was very close to us as well. He loved the Shi'urim, he attended them, he listened to them, he gave the tapes to his children. But he's definitely going to be missed, and Be'ezat Hashem, at least he doesn't have to suffer anymore. Borei Olam should console us and the entire community that we should know no more tragedies of such kind. We should all have Chaim Arukim, Beracha, Vatzlachan, Shalom, Amen. Ele Toledot Noach, Noach Ish Tzaddik, Tamim Haya Bedorotav. You can close that if you like. It's okay, you don't mind?
I don't mind.
That's fine, I'm fine with it, I don't have a problem with it. Whatever you want to do. You can play with it also if you want to make it higher or lower. It's the same thing. I got used to every setting already in this chair. It doesn't matter. Really. It's noisy. Ele toledot Noach. Noach is Sadiq Tamim Haya Bedorotav. Our parasha talks about the great flood that took place in the times of Noach. It seems we've been reading Parashat Noach in this country for the past 6 months. Between all the floods and the hurricanes and all the inclement weather, it seems if there's been a parasha that has been appropriate for the current events, it is Parashat Noach. But our parasha starts off telling us a little about Noach and who he was. These are the offspring of Noach. And then the pasuk says, "Ele toledot Noach." These are his offspring. Noach is sadiq tamim haya bedorotav. And the pasuk goes on to tell us who Noach was. Noah was a righteous man, he was a pious man, but that wasn't his offspring. His offspring were his children. So the pasuk is very misleading. It starts off introducing these are the offspring of Noah, and then it just tells us about Noah. It doesn't tell us anything about his children until the next pasuk it says, "Vayoled Noah shlosha banim et shem et ham ve et yafet." So I saw one of the Mefarshim explain that a person has two offspring. He has his biological children. Those are the children that he bores after through marriage. That's Shem, Ham, VeYafet. But the main offspring of a person is his own self. What he produces himself, his own accomplishments and achievements, that is the greatest offspring of a person. And therefore, a person cannot abandon his growth. Because even though we're obligated as parents to raise our children, but many parents or people, adults, in their mind they say, that's it, I've grown already, I'm mature, now it's my time to educate my children. The Torah is telling you, just like you have to educate your children and constantly grow them, so too you have to be constantly growing yourself. You yourself are the primary offspring. Ele toledot Noach. You know who the primary offspring of Noach was? Noach. Noah, Noah, he himself is the greatest product of himself. There was once a great rabbi that went to the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin. The rabbi's name was Rav Shlomo Freifield. He went to Rav Yitzhak Hutner. And Rabbi Hutner told him that he thinks it's time for him to start learning maybe Kabbalah or mysticism or things like that, some deep stuff. So Rabbi Freifield said that, you know, he can't involve himself in such deep learning because it's going to take away from his students. meaning he needs time to teach his students and stuff like that. He doesn't have the time to give the effort into the depthness. So Rabbi Hutna answered very wise, and he said, when a mother eats well, it's good for her children. Which means, the more a person learns and grows himself, that is better for your children. Which means you'll be a better parent, you'll be a better mother, you'll be a better person. If you continue to grow and learn, your education of your children will benefit. And therefore there's never a time where you come along and say, I'm good. Now it's time to teach my children. No, ele toledot Noah, Noah, grow yourself and make yourself. That being said, we read about the society that was in the time of Noah. The Torah tells us very clearly that it was a total breakdown. Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayar Elohim et Ha'aretz. God looked down at the land. Vehinen Nishchata. It was corrupt. Ki Hishchit Kol Basar Et Darko Al Ha'aretz. Every human being became filled with corruption. So the rabbis ask, the Pasuk seems superfluous. It says God saw that the land was corrupt because the people became corrupt. It's double. He saw it was corrupt because they were corrupt. So the rabbis explain like this. What defines corruption? What defines indecency? Who decides that? Who decides for us what is moral and immoral? What decides for us what is proper and what is improper? What is right and what is wrong? Who decides for us? The Brooklyn Public Library? The Book of Etiquette of Emily Post? Who decides for us what is the proper way to behave and what is not the proper way? The only place where we can get the values is from the Torah. God sets the standards. However, when human beings deny the Torah and they don't follow the standards of God, society sets their own moral and ethical values. And once they set their values, once society accepts them, they're not immoral anymore. That becomes the normal way. Which means, for example, if the Torah tells us a certain type of dress is considered immodest, but if society decides to dress in that way, that becomes accepted, that becomes modest dress, that becomes contemporary society, and that becomes the culture, and that becomes accessible. The Torah tells us over here, God looked down at the earth, Vayar Elohim et Ha'aretz v'hineh nishchata. God looked down at the earth and he saw it's corrupt. But it was only corrupt from God's vision. To the people that were doing it, they didn't think it was corrupt anymore. Ki yishchit kol basar et darko. To them it became a way of life. Today it became a lifestyle. And when depravity becomes a lifestyle, the people don't even realize that they're doing something wrong, that already is the greatest corruption. When God's the only one that realizes there's corruption going on, you're in trouble. When we forget that we're doing things that are wrong, and not forget, when we don't even realize what we're doing is wrong, and the only one that knows we're doing something wrong is God, that means we've become so immune to a certain way that is the corruption on the highest level. So the Pasuk says, Vayar Elohim et Ha'aretz v'hineh nishchata. It was only corrupt in God's eyes. But if you would ask the people on earth, they'd say everything's fine. We're just living life as normal. Ki yishchit kol basar et darko. They became so depraved that they didn't even realize what they were doing was wrong. We live in a similar society where certain things just become accepted, and somehow they seep into our way of life, and we don't even question them if they're right or wrong. All of a sudden we, for granted, take it, this is what everybody does, this is right. And we don't even have a sense of right or wrong anymore. Just because we get swept away with the society. Now it's obvious our standards as Jews is not the same standards as the rest of the nations of the world. We live on a much higher standard. Just like as we live on a higher standard than most people in the world, our ethics and values and mores are also on a higher standard. And therefore, what's acceptable for everybody else does not necessarily mean that it's acceptable for us. What's accepted for a farmer is not acceptable for somebody that lives in the palace of the king. Everybody must live according to their level and who they are and what they were appropriated to do. I'll give you one example. It's been a very big problem in our time. With the advancement of technology, which every day technology is advancing itself by leaps and bounds, like I said in last week's class, the cell phone that you buy today is going to be outdated tomorrow. The computer that you bought yesterday already is old news, and all the gadgets that we have are constantly being revised and revamped. Technology cannot keep up with itself. But there's one new machine that has come out of recent time in our generation, and it has been very accepted without any criticism and without any question by all people, and we haven't heard too much negative response. And that is specifically referring to the machine called, or the mechanism called, the Internet. The Internet, which most people have access to it in their homes and in their offices and their place of work, must be discussed. What is the Torah's opinion on it? Does the Torah have an opinion on this? We believe that the Internet can be and is a very dangerous place. But it took us 10 years to start seeing the problems that the Internet is causing. The havoc that it's wreaking on marriages. Unfortunately, there's a lot of places on the Internet that are not proper for Jewish people to be on, or for that matter, human beings to be on. Whether it's the chat groups, or whether it's the different Devarim Asurim, the Shemirat Ta'inayim, etc., that is unacceptable. So these things over here are destroying the Kiddushah of marriages, they're destroying the Kiddushah of the children, because children have access to the Internet, and they're more experienced than even their parents are. And all the passwords that the parents place on the Internet, the children already know the passwords and have their own code words, and they're much more adept and experienced at surfing and getting in and out of all sorts of safeguards and parental controls, as we know. And unfortunately, children that are 7, 8, 9 years old are witnessing things that bar minan adults should never have to witness in their life. And this is because there's been a lack of awareness of how dangerous this machine is. Recently, some of the great rabbis in Lakewood, who know the seriousness of what we're talking about. This is not an extreme opinion, by the way. This is something that if you're a rabbi or a leader, and you heard the cases of what's going on because of the Internet and its danger, you'd say this is not extreme at all. You'd say this is long overdue. They made a tekanah in Lakewood recently that in a Jewish home, one should not have the Internet specifically accessible to their children. And they went so far to say, to protect the integrity of the yeshivas, that in any home that there is access to the Internet, the children will not be accepted in the yeshiva. Not as a punishment. Because the children are becoming so corrupted, unfortunately, innocently, not doing it maliciously, just by surfing and things that they're seeing, and they're coming into the yeshivas, and they're sharing all the stuff that they're talking about, and the conversation, and they're printing, and they're shemais, and it's tainting children that are still pure, children that have no idea what's going on. So now you have, unfortunately, by innocence, and there's nothing malicious over here, by just total innocence, by parents neglecting what their children are doing, and what they're seeing, and what they're involved in, husbands that can cause a total breakdown of society, or of the kiddushah, I should say, of the holiness. Now again, every machine has safety features. We all drive cars. None of us would think in this generation to drive a car without a seatbelt. Why? Because it's dangerous. Wearing a seatbelt, who are we protecting ourselves from? We're protecting ourselves from ourselves. If we speed, if we crash, if we don't pay attention, at least we're protected. Every machine, there's a warning on it. Make sure that you use it with caution. Make sure that you don't have it next to water where you can get electrocuted. There's always warnings. The Internet also is a machine that needs to have very strict warnings. And as responsible parents, I wish it should never happen to any of the children, but there's children that have been exposed to so much things. There was one child recently, one of the yeshivas. He came into the yeshiva one day and he was pale. The teacher didn't think of anything. Maybe the child's not feeling well, he has a cold. And the next day again, he's not talking, he's not eating so much, he's very, very not himself. The parents are concerned also, the parents call the teacher, what's going on, is anything with the child? The teacher's like, we were going to call you, he looks very out of it. And he doesn't talk. The kid was a very lively kid, talkative, etc., and he became silent. And sure enough, they brought him to the psychologist of the school, and they started to talk, and they got out of him, better than the things he was exposed to, scary things for a child to see, for anybody to see, because he was on the internet, and the images that he saw brought fright into him. Pahadma, he couldn't open his mouth. He became so shaken up from an image at 9-year-old. Pure tahor, pure children, that all of a sudden, because a parent is letting them go on the internet and surf and see whatever they want, our hachamim, you know, always seem extreme. They always seem extreme, and then 50 years later, they always seem to be 100% right. They sound like alarmists at the time that they say these things, and then years later, you say, you know what? The rabbis were right. You know, 50 years ago, one of the great hachamim in Israel, the Stipler rabbi, as well as all the gedolim, when the advent of television came to the forefront, so the rabbis screamed bloody murder about television. Now, of course, the modern Jews and all the skeptics, all the cynics, what are the rabbis screaming about? What's the TV? It's nothing. So you're watching a little entertainment. What was television 50 years ago? It was I Love Lucy and the black and white shows. Clean, nice, nothing dirty. You want no risque. Didn't even show the bedroom on the television set. It was all just, you know, good, clean entertainment, nothing. You could watch it, and you could let your children watch. You could let them sit in front of the television unattended, not having to worry what they watched. So 50 years ago when this happened, the Gedolim went crazy. Oh, this is Yetzirara, what are you doing? And everybody said, what are you talking about? The rabbis are backwards, they have their head in the wall, they're living in the mountains, they don't understand what the technology is. It's a great item. Hachamim was so smart. They knew how the Yetzirara works. The Yetzirara doesn't come right away with the final product. The Yetzirara first has to get it into every house. He has to get it into every door. Once it's in everybody's house, and everybody has an outlet, and everybody has an antenna on the house, now the Yetzirah says, oh, now we can start what we really intended. This is what we didn't really intend for I Love Lucy. That was to get them in. That was to bait them. Now we got them in the house. Everybody has a television. Now we'll start with cable, and with movies, and with all the other type of stuff. Now already we'll blitz them with all these type of things, and now the Yetzirah has come after Kedushat Beit Yisrael, the holiness and sanctity of a Jewish home, which is tantamount to a Beit HaMikdash, which is tantamount to a Mishkan. Now it's been assaulted. Now you have the Goyim that are coming along to say 50 years later, oh, television's a very, very, very serious item. You have producers going to Congress and testifying in front of the Senate that maybe we have to start regulations, and maybe we start have to banning certain things, and we have to make all sorts type of laws. The Gedolim were saying this 50 years ago, and you laughed at them. And they were 100% on target. Today, all of you will agree that even though we all have televisions in your homes, most of you, but you'll all agree that it's a very dangerous machine over there. You can't just let your children watch anything. It has to be guarded and safeguarded. And the only way to safeguard it, you know what the answer is. And therefore, the television today has become a mitzvah compared to what the internet offers. The television has become kodesh, lehavdil, between what the internet is. The limited exposure of television is nowhere near what the exposure that our children can get from having internet. And therefore the Gedolim have, you have to understand, when Hachamim make these takanot, you think they have nothing better to do? You think it's because they just sit in the meeting all day long and they're bored? You know, how can we spoil Klal Yisrael's fun? You know, how can we take away another item that Am Yisrael is enjoying? On the contrary, they're doing it as a safeguard. They're doing it to control or to save Jewish neshamot from destruction. Hazbin Shalom, these Jewish souls at a young age are tainted. So then already they don't stand a shot. If already at 8, 9 years old, they've seen everything, and they've been exposed to everything, and they try to now go and teach a kid Torah, when every night he's sitting playing on the internet for 2-3 hours. The Tum'ah and the Kedushah, they clash, they don't go together. And therefore, one has to be very, very careful when he's raising his children, to be very vigilant when it comes to these items. It's something that you definitely should consider if you actually need to have the internet in your home at all. What was it necessary? One thing in business, in order to buy and sell, etc., it's one thing. And even then, it's a dangerous machine. But in the house, it's... although someone will argue, oh, but there's a lot of Torah, and there's a lot of... But when it comes to your children, our children are not looking for the Torah on the internet. You know, they're not going for the education side of it. They're getting into trouble, unfortunately, innocently. I don't mean maliciously, just by making a few clicks. You know, they type in one wrong letter, and all of a sudden, the Yetzirah has figured out a way. It's amazing. One rabbi said, the Gemara in Yoma says, talking about the state of the Yetzirah. Yetzirah is growing every day. So this was written 2,000 years ago in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ve'adayin ha-satan miraked benenu. The Satan is still dancing in our midst. This was the Gemara talking then. So one of the rabbis asks, why does it refer to the Satan as a dancer? The Satan is more like an enticer. The Satan is more like one that tricks us. We never looked at the Satan of the Yetzirah like a dancer. Why does it say, and the Satan is still dancing in our midst? So I heard from Rav Eliezer Gordon, Alav HaShalom, he says the following. He said, there's a certain style of dance, a method of dance, that starts off very slow. And then as the dance progresses and the tempo starts getting faster, so the dancer starts to pick up the pace and he starts to gather momentum. And all of a sudden, after a certain time of the dance where it progresses, the dancer goes wild, which means he becomes